Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
So say this out loud. My going is connected to His power. One more time. My going is connected to His power. We have to understand that my going is connected to His power, and that's on the job, that's on the soccer field, that's anywhere and everywhere that I go, I'm advancing kingdom authority because all power has been given unto Jesus in heaven and earth. I therefore can go. With that in mind, let's come back to the Old Testament, Genesis chapter number 14. Genesis chapter number 14, and I just want to continue on that vein right there. Of all power being given unto Jesus, go ye therefore. It's time for believers to start exercising kingdom authority, kingdom jurisdiction, understanding that prayers are your access to heaven and can be offered anywhere at any time. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter number 14, when you get there, just say amen. We'll look at it starting around verse 19, 18. Let's go to verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Let's read that verse out loud together. Ready? Read. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Now, Hebrews chapter 6 and chapter 7 sheds light on this Melchizedek and basically tells us that Melchizedek in the Old Testament was a type of Jesus. He represented Jesus. The Bible says that he had no beginning, he had no ending. He was made like unto the Son of God. We see in verse 18, the first thing about this Melchizedek is that he is king. And we see that he is king of Salem. Salem here being short for Jerusalem. He was king of Jerusalem, of Salem. And we see something else that should point to Jesus, and that he brought forth bread and wine. It's Jesus that gave communion to his disciples in Matthew chapter 26. So we see yet another type of Jesus in that he brought forth bread and wine. He's meeting Abraham. And we see one more point about him in verse 18, and that is he was the priest of the Most High God. Anytime you read in Scripture, Most High God, that little phrase in English, Most High God, God Most High, Lord Most High, anytime you see most and high paired together, then that is referring to the Hebrew name of God, El Elyon, El Elyon. And that name just means Most High God. It was the name and the position of El Elyon that Satan, as Lucifer, coveted in heaven. It was his desire to have that seat and that authority of El Elyon, the Most High God, that got him put out of heaven. Here we see this Melchizedek, king of Salem, bring bread and wine to Abraham, and he's a priest. So notice, this Melchizedek is not just a king, but he is also a priest. Again, like Jesus, who is not only a king, but a priest. And we see in verse number 19, the words say that he blessed him, and he blessed him. Now, do me this favor, because there's something I want you to see in these verses that if you act like you've already read this, or you finish the verse so the four people around you know that you know that verse, before I explain that verse, you might actually miss something in this verse. And so what I like to do when I study the word, and I literally do this when I pray, before I study, I say, Lord, I pretend I know nothing. I've been studying the word all of my adult life, so that's better than 5 years now. And I always pray that. I say, Lord, I pretend I know nothing. so that I can learn. And so let's pretend we don't have never read this verse before and see what light the Holy Spirit might be able to shed upon it. Because there's some language here that I want you to see. So in verse 19, the Bible says, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God. Let's read that part out loud together. Ready? Read. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God. Now, what gives this man the authority to say to Abram that he has been blessed of the Most High God? What gives him this authority is that he is the priest of the Most High God. And a priest, biblically, is a mediator. A priest goes before God on behalf of man and can go to man on behalf of God. He is a priest. Now, there's a verse that would be good for your notes right here. And if you're one that writes in your Bibles, I would write in that next to this verse, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Because Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 says that Jesus is the high priest of our profession. So hold on to that. If you, you know, put a pin in that, hold on to that. Put that in your notes somewhere, Hebrews 3 and 1. Jesus is the high priest of my profession. That means he's a mediator of my words. He's a mediator of my words. He is the high priest of my profession. Jesus is our great high priest. You don't need a man to get to God. Jesus has resolved that issue. You don't need a pastor to pray for you to God. Jesus is your mediator. You don't need a man to pray on your behalf for your salvation. Jesus is your mediator. You don't have to go to a man and ask for forgiveness of sin because Jesus is your mediator. You don't have to go to a man to get the blessing of God on your life because Jesus is your mediator. Jesus is everything that you need. Hallelujah. The word says in John 14 and 6 that no man comes to the Father except by him. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. He is your mediator. You have direct access to the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10, 19 tells me that because of what Jesus did, I can have boldness to come before the presence of God in the name of Jesus. So Jesus is my mediator. Say that out loud. Jesus is my mediator. Now watch this. So this mediator, who's a type of Jesus in the Old Testament, Melchizedek, I didn't make that up. That's what Hebrews 6 and 7 teaches us. This Melchizedek, interesting enough, is going to be the first man that we see in Scripture that receives tithes. Abraham's going to give him tithes here to me. He's counting him very worthy, this man. And so verse 19 says, and he blessed him. That means Melchizedek blessed Abram. Now, let's do this. Come back two chapters to Genesis chapter 12. And let's look at something here, starting in verse number 1. If you will let me build this case, if you just let me build this case and we just get in this word and study and let the word speak for itself and let the word cast light on itself, I assure you our faith will go to a whole nother level here in about 30 minutes. All right? So, amen? All right, so just stay with me here, all right? Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So God is promising to Abraham that he is going to bless him, right? Come back to chapter 14. That blessing that he promised Abraham shows up here in Genesis 14 through Melchizedek, a type of Jesus. Oh, can I pause right there? Let's just back this up a little bit because we're going to take our time, let this thing marinate God says to Abraham in Genesis 12, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. The blessing I place on your life is going to be so powerful that if anybody gets with my program and blesses you, because that's my will for you, I'm going to bless them. And if anybody dare challenge my program of blessing you and try to curse you, then that curse will come back on them. So God here is promising this blessing, but we don't see it manifest until Melchizedek shows up and blesses Abraham here in Genesis 14, who is a type of Jesus. Now, what should that mean, or what is that saying to you and I as believers? Well, let me say what I'm getting out of this. What I'm getting out of this is God has promises. God has promises for me. God has promises for you. But it is through Jesus that I become a recipient of those promises. See, notice God in Genesis 12 tells Abraham, I'm going to bless you. But we don't see it manifest until Genesis 14 through this man by the name of Melchizedek, who is a type of Jesus in the earth. He is a king and he is a priest. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, put that in your notes. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says that all the promises of God in Jesus, in Christ, are yes and amen. That means every promise that God ever made through Jesus, that promise is a yes and amen to me. I can become a recipient of every promise that God made in Christ. Outside of Christ, those promises are there, but they don't manifest in my life. But in Christ, they become a reality to my life. That is portrayed here in Genesis 14 when Melchizedek shows up and blesses Abraham. Let's keep reading. And so he says, the word says, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God. Or I'm going to read it the way it would sound in Hebrew. Blessed be Abram of El Elyon. Blessed be Abram of the Most High God. The Most High God. A name that represents this supreme authority that God has in the earth. Notice that he says, you are blessed of the Most High God, who is possessor of heaven and earth. He is Lord. Possessor means owner. And the word Lord means owner. You could read this Lord of heaven and earth. Well, that takes me back to something we read a minute ago that Jesus said in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. All power or jurisdiction has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, you can go because I've been given, I have all the authority in heaven and in earth. So here Melchizedek is telling Abraham, you've been blessed of the Most High God who is Lord in heaven and in earth, that in the earth you have a divine connection to the Lord, the owner of earth, whose throne is in heaven. He is Lord of heaven and earth, and you've been blessed by him in the earth. Glory to God. Verse number 19 or 20. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. What's interesting about this tithe right here is this is over 400 years before there was a law. So for folk that say, I don't tithe because I'm not under the law, they haven't understood the word. Tithing was not a law practice. It's a covenant practice. And God had just made a covenant with Abraham. And Abraham in this covenant is honoring this Melchizedek with the tithe. And I'm not trying to minister on tithe. I'm just wanting you to see the point here. And what's so awesome here is that Abraham has been blessed by this priest who is a type of Jesus, possessor of heaven and earth. And as he blesses Abraham, because he's a mediator, and as a mediator, oh my, I can't hardly wait to even say this. As a mediator, he has the rights and the authority to go to man on behalf of God. So he comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, of God, of the Most High God, you, Abraham, have been blessed. And this Most High God is Lord in heaven and in earth. And you, Abraham, have been blessed of this Most High God. But a mediator not only comes to man on behalf of God, he goes to God on behalf of man. Which means not only does Jesus give me every spiritual and tangible gift, not only is Jesus my access to salvation and deliverance and protection and healing and promise that I don't receive anything of God outside of Jesus, not only do I become a recipient of my God in heaven through Jesus, but my Father in heaven cannot receive of me without Jesus. There's two things I want you to see here. That a mediator, a priest is a mediator that goes to man on behalf of God. But not only does a mediator go to man on behalf of God, he goes to God on behalf of man. Glory to God. Listen, my prayers have no power without Jesus. My praise has no power without Jesus. Every spiritual gift that I offer to my Father is only received of my Father because Jesus is a faithful mediator. He takes my praise and he mediates it to the Father. He receives my prayers and mediates it to the Father. He receives my tithes and mediates that to the Father. Every spiritual and tangible gift, in order for it to reach the Father from man, the priest has to mediate that. That's the pattern that God has set up in his word from the very beginning. And so now we're already seeing where Melchizedek is blessing man, Abraham, on behalf of God. But remember, that mediator part goes two ways. So watch it here carefully. He says, blessed be Abram. Look at verse 19. Just pull that part out where it says, and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God. Read that part out loud. Blessed be Abram of the Most High God. That's what the priest is saying to Abraham. Blessed be Abram of the Most High God. Blessed be Abram of the Most High God. He's speaking a blessing over Abraham. Blessed be Abram of the Most High God. He's letting Abraham know the reason you just won this battle, the reason you went into this conflict just now and you came out victorious is because you've been blessed of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Blessed be Abram of the Most High God. He's letting Abraham know you've been blessed of the Most High God. He's mediating. I know I'm taking my time, but I'm choosing to do this. Because I want you to see what's getting ready to happen next. Because he first says, blessed be Abram of the Most High God. But then look what he says in verse 20. Read it with me. And blessed be the Most High God. See, it's always two ways with God. He said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God. But then as mediator for Abraham, he looks back and says, and blessed be the Most High God. This thing doesn't just come this way. It also goes this way. It's like a pendulum that whatever comes down has to be returned. And it goes back up. He said, Abram, blessed be Abram of the Most High God. And blessed be the Most High God. He is letting Abraham know that this endowment that you've received of the Most High God is not to go without the acknowledgement of who gave it to you. We got to hang out on here just for a minute. See, he didn't just say, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, and then walk away. Then Abraham could have walked around and said, ooh, yeah, I'm blessed of the Most High God. That's who I am. That's what he could have walked around in arrogance. He could have walked around in a pride where he was boasting and, oh, I've been blessed of the Most High God. But it is almost simultaneously that this priest says, Abram, you've been blessed of the Most High God. But before you walk away and rejoice, Abram, blessed be the Most High God. So you can't receive of the Most High God and not acknowledge who you just got this blessing from. Church, when you receive God's promise in your life, when you receive God's goodness in your life, be quick to give God the praise. Be quick to respond and say, this is the Lord's doing. This is marvelous in my eyes. Don't just receive and then walk away. I'm blessed in the Most High. No, you better return that thing back where you got it. Blessed be the Most High God. So he says, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine hands, thine enemies into thy hand, thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. So notice Abraham saying, I come out of this battle victorious because I've been blessed with the Most High God. How can I walk away with all the spoil? So I'm going to give back the tenth to this Most High God, acknowledging that everything I just got came from him. Hallelujah. That is a practice that was in place over 400 years before there was a law. And blessed be the Most High God, verse 20, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons, take the goods of thyself, etc. That is the point that I wanted to make here. Now, let's go further in this. Come with me to Psalms, the 57th division. Psalms 57. So I'm going to share something that's been on my heart lately. And this is just a conviction the Lord's given me. And I'm going to share it with you, and you just let the Holy Spirit lead you as you feel led, all right? I don't have a connection with God outside of Jesus. I'm starting there. You feel me, Brother King? All right. Talking to my friend over here. I don't have a connection to God outside of Jesus. I don't know him. I have no relationship with the Father outside of Jesus. Now, you might be here today and say, oh, no, that's not me. I have a close relationship with God outside of Jesus. Well, you're doing that without the Word. The Word don't teach that. I know that's popular this day and time. Even, you know, ministers getting up saying, well, who are we to say that Jesus is the only way? The Bible does. And you say, well, you're very narrow-minded. And I say, you sure right. I ain't moving off that. It don't matter if we go from where we are right now down to three people. It don't matter. I'll never change that Jesus is the only way to heaven. There is no other name given among men whereby we might be saved. That's where I'm at. If you don't believe in Jesus, hang around. Hopefully you'll become a believer. But I believe. I am a believer that Jesus is God's son, that God gave his son so that we could have a relationship with the Father. And I do not believe I can have a relationship with the Father without the Son. I don't believe that. I'm speaking of my conviction. But my conviction comes from the Word. Now, I'm leading you into something, so please stay with me. So if I don't have a relationship with the Father outside of the Son, who's the mediator, the priest who died for me and gave me this access, then I can't even give God praise without Jesus. So there's been a conviction I've had for some time, and I just want to share it. When you give praise to God, recognize you couldn't praise him because you wouldn't know him and you wouldn't have a relationship with him if it weren't for Jesus. What am I getting at? I'm sensitive about thanking Jesus, giving him the praise or the credit for what's happening in my life. Okay? So let me give you a case in point, all right, a case in point. A hungry man comes to me. He's looking for an alms, looking for help. Okay, would you buy me some food? And I give him some money to buy him some food. And I say to him, hypothetically, I say to him, he says, thank you, sir. And I say, no, thank God. Because without God, I would not have given you this. And so he goes on his way. That God I just told him to think, he couldn't know without the one that God sent that he could know. So why wouldn't I say, thank Jesus? Because there are many little g gods in the world. And I can say, thank God, and you thank your God, whoever you've made to be your God. Your God might be a statue sitting on the hearth in your living room. And you don't have no problem me saying thank God, because you might thank Buddha or whoever your God is. But when I say thank Jesus, I have just communicated that I believe that Jesus is the Son of the Most High God and that he's the only way to God. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, name the name of Jesus, because you wouldn't be able to say my Father who art in heaven were it not for the Son that died that gave you that relationship.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McMenis. Have a blessed week.